Certainly good to be here with you tonight. Glad to see all those present with us here tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to speak for you here tonight. Tonight we'd like to look at a subject of we are to please Christ and not ourselves. And of course we know that to be the case, but as human nature kind of leads us to be the other way around. A lot of times we want to please ourselves and not Christ, even though we always know we should have Christ first in our mind. We'd like to start tonight by reading a passage in Romans chapter 15 and verses 1 through 6. Romans chapter 15, begin with verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that are reproached, they fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be one with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, so many times, here again is our nature as human beings, when we see someone else with a problem, many times our first response sometimes is not to help them. Or we see someone else that's doing something wrong, instead of going to that person and telling them that they're doing something wrong and seeing if we can help them, many times we go and tell someone else. And you think about, you know, just as a human, that's really the wrong thing to do if you're working in business or school or wherever else, but especially as a Christian. You know, sometimes there may be a need to tell some other brethren about a problem so that, you know, maybe the church needs to help somebody that's got a financial problem or something like that or whatever. But, you know, many times that's not the case. Many times we tell other people rather than the person maybe that's got the problem. Or instead of helping them with that problem, we make it worse by just, as you would, you know, maybe just gossiping about it and, you know, spreading that around and so forth. And I thought a very, I guess you might say, simple example of this other day, we were watching a TV show, and there was this lady and her daughter, a teenage daughter, and they were in the grocery store, and they came around the corner in the grocery store, and they met this other lady, and she was just blessing her daughter out. And that daughter happened to be in the other girl's class about a project she didn't have done at school. And I mean, she was just really irate and screaming and yelling about it. And the other daughter, she said, "Well, Mom, let's just go back the other way." And she said, "Well, I think it's a little bit too late now. We're done right in the middle of this." So, you know, you think about the approaches that could have been had from this situation. You know, one thing, the lady could have just turned and went the other way and went and told everybody, "You should have heard how that lady was talking to her daughter." And, you know, we may have done the same thing ourselves sometimes. You know, we get aggravated and we get frustrated. And this woman was a single mom and her daughter hadn't told her about the project. And now she had to have it done and she had a lot of pressures and so forth. But it was very interesting to me of how this lady chose to help the family that was having a problem. You know, she, first of all, she just confronted the problem rather than turning and walking away. And she told the lady, she said, "Why don't you let your daughter come home with me and my daughter and her can work on the project together. And if they need some help, I can help them. And not only that will relieve you of that, but it'll give you some time to yourself." And when the lady finally collected herself a little bit, she said, "Well, that's a good idea." And she went along with that. But that's an example, I believe, when you're talking about in verse 1, that we that are strong let to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Sometimes, maybe it's that we can help to take on another person's problem, to help them with that burden that they may have or something. And what was interesting was the lady that took the child home with her, she had 7 kids of her own. You know, and it would be very easy for any of us to say, I got 7 kids at home myself. I ain't got time to mess with that person, with that situation. You know, they got themselves in that own mess. I got to sit about this child and get my own child getting their project done and the other 6 children I have at home. But, you know, she recognized there was maybe a serious problem. It turned out to be that it was. And I believe, if I remember correctly, what really happened was it was the daughter, the mother, and the grandmother all living in the house together, and the grandmother had been abusive verbally to her daughter. And then as it went on later on, every time pressure came up, that mother, she was verbally abusive to her daughter. And, you know, it was a problem that they really needed some help with because of the way she was, you know, treating her daughter and all, and she needed some help, you know, in a lot of different ways, but she needed to be able to cope with that situation. So we'll just like to look at a few passages tonight that we can think about how that we can please Christ and not ourselves. And I said, as human nature, we many times want to do what's easiest for us, to take the easy way out, to do as what the world would do of just turning away from a situation, of not helping, and the worst of all is talking about someone else that's in a bad situation rather than doing what we can to help. The next passage we'd like to look at is in Galatians chapter 6, in verses 1 through 10. And the first three passages that we're going to look here are very much parallel, I believe, to the first one that we read. Galatians chapter 6, begin with verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And you know, this is not just our neighbors that we might can help. You know, as we see in this last verse, do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And you know that many of the congregations in this area have been involved in supporting the brethren all over the world, in Mexico and Africa and the Philippines and different places that have needs and so forth. But you know, there's a lot of different lessons we can learn from these few passages here about people who are weak spiritually, just to help them and strengthen them in the areas that they may have a weakness in. And you know, to realize this life is short. But, you know, what we do in this life does matter because we're going to reap what we sow, so to speak. The next passage we'd like to look at is in Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Again, this is a very parallel passage to the first two that we read. Romans chapter 14, begin with verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful dissentation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, and whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. But to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. So we know that there were, in this time, that there were many that were confused about the old law and the new law and wanting to hold things over from the old law. And there were some of them, just their conscience bothered them about things that they were to eat and so forth. And it talks about here about those that had a conscience problem about certain things to have patience with them so they fully understood the law. And, you know, many things today we can't deviate from what the Bible says, but, you know, sometimes we need to be understanding to those that, you know, maybe do not understand the Scriptures until they have full, you know, comprehension of what the Bible teaches. The next passage we'd like to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church here at Corinth, that to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So Paul is saying that he became weak, that he might gain the weak. In other words, he tried to put himself in the shoes of those that he was trying to teach and understand where they were coming from, that he might be able to teach them. And he didn't say that he necessarily won all of them, that I might by all means save some. In other words, he reaches out to some. And, you know, of course, we have to be careful in this esteem. We can't just say, well, you know, we're going to go out and hang out at all the bars and nightclubs and so forth like that, because we're going to go out and try to save all the sinners that are going down there. You know, that may not necessarily work, because, you know, we spend too much time down there, we might become like them instead of them becoming like us. But, you know, we have to realize sometimes when we're going to reach out to the lost, it's probably not going to be inside these four walls necessarily where we're going to be reaching out to the lost, just as it is tonight. Probably, you know, the majority, if not all, the people here tonight are members of the Lord's church. So, you know, that's one thing we have to think. We have to reach out, you know, to those in the world. And like I said, sometimes we have to think about the situation that they're in and think about how they got in that situation that we might be able to better serve them. Next, we'd like to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12 through 26. This is talking about all different members of the body, even being the body of Christ. They all have different purposes. And, you know, we see that even today within the churches, you know, everybody doesn't speak. Everybody doesn't lead singing. Everybody doesn't lead prayer. But, you know, everybody has things that they do that is better than someone else. You know, there's some brothers that have and even sisters too, that have the gift of hospitality and visitation and so forth. Maybe they have the time or the opportunity. Not to say we should put all that on one person or whatever, but there are some people that excel in this area, being able to visit the sick or visit those that are in hospitals or you know, nursing homes and so forth, and they do, you know, a better job of that certainly than I do. And, you know, there's different things that different people can do, but there's not any one of them that's any more important. It's just different, fulfilling different parts of the function within the body. And sometimes, you know, even though we know it's not true, sometimes we put too much emphasis on maybe on, you know, speaking in the church. Of course, it's good for the brethren to grow up to learn where they can speak, so it helps them just to learn the Bible, but that's not necessarily the most important part in service to please Christ. We'll begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, begin with verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling? But God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? But now they are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow the more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So I think we can all understand that every, just as the church has many members, we all have a part and a role to play. One part's not any more important than the other part, it's just a different part. And this is talking about in the last part of this passage is that we should have the same care one for another, that if one member, you know, be suffering, that we all should feel that suffering, just as one member should have a rejoicing, that we should all rejoice in that. And, you know, just as we were talking about earlier about, you know, bearing others' infirmities and so forth, you know, when a brother or sister has a problem, especially, you know, we need to talk to that brother or sister about that problem and not to others. Because, you know, many times there may be someone maybe doesn't realize they're doing something wrong or there's a problem exists. But, you know, if we can talk to them and get that problem solved, then they can just go away. But, you know, so many times the human nature is to go and tell everybody else except for the person that's affected about the problem. And then that just makes it worse and a lot harder to solve. And certainly that, if we think about the whole body being as one member, it causes more hurt than it does unification. Next, we'd like to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10. You see here about the Apostle Paul having the thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And we think about the Apostle Paul here, what he's talking about is that he has some kind of infirmity of the flesh. He asked three times that the Lord would remove it from him. But you know what the answer to that was? Is God said, my grace is sufficient. You know, maybe it was something that caused him to be closer to God, that humbled him in some way. And, you know, if we think about we are to please Christ and not ourselves, sometimes we have a problem that helps us to focus on the fact of our problem and that we're not in total control of things, that we have to be dependent upon God. And, you know, as we talked about earlier about our human nature, as human beings, what Paul talks about here in verse 10 is almost the opposite of human nature. Saying he takes pleasure in infirmities. How many of us could really hold our hand up tonight and say we take pleasure in infirmities? and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses. But why does he do this? He does it for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I guess he makes them really realize, and they probably realize how dependent he was upon God. Because sometimes that's the way we are. When everything's going good, you know, things are going good financially, things are going good, you know, spiritually and emotionally, and everything's just going along with our lives, you know, and we're able to buy the things we need, and everything's going good with our lives and our jobs and our homes and our families, you know, we feel like we're in control. And not to say that we don't pray and we don't thank God for these things, but, you know, when do we do the most praying and looking to God? It's when we have hardships financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically, with our health. You know, it's sad to say, but many times that's what draws us closer to God, is those problems and troubles that we face. It makes us realize that, you know, I can't handle these things on my own. And, you know, I have to look to God for help. So it's sad sometimes that it actually makes us realize our frail human nature sometimes. And it really makes us realize about, you know, pleasing Christ and not ourselves. Next, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. First Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men. Again, we're thinking about the thought of we are to please Christ and not ourselves. And we are to edify one another. And also, as we see in this verses in verse 14 especially, it says, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. That's something that's hard to do sometimes, is to be patient as we should. But to be, also as it talks about in verse 13, to be at peace among yourselves. Verse 15, not see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good. So, you know, there's times that we are to you know, help others' bad infirmities, but, you know, sometimes other, you know, brothers or individuals may be in the wrong, and we need to talk to them about those things because we're concerned about their souls. There's a, you know, proper way and manner, just as, you know, Christ was here with us today, that's what he would do to any one of us if he saw us in a fault. He would certainly want us to correct that problem in our lives. Next, we'd like to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. If we are to please Christ and not ourselves, we are to, in verse 3, talks about to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we've got to remember what our goal is. You know, in verse 4, it talks about no man worth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You know, we have to be careful to think about what our priorities are. You know, why are we here? Are we here to build up bank accounts and the material things that we can have and possess in our lives? Are we here to serve God? You know, and we're just here for a very short time. But sometimes, you know, when someone asks us that question, we say, well, we're here to serve God. But then we look at our life and our activities and the things that we do, and many times we spend way too much of our time amassing personal possessions. Next, we'd like to look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, begin with verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we are to please Christ and not ourselves, we have to recognize that those things that are of the world are the things that would please us as human beings, but those things that would please Christ are not the things of this world. You know, all sins in this life could be categorized into one of these three areas of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But you know, those things are not of this world. And we have to be careful about our priorities in this life, because if we put all our stock in the world, well, as verse 17 tells us, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we're going to please Christ, we have to do the things that would please him, that would be of a spiritual nature. And further, we'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 6. Begin with verse 10 through 18. If we are to please Christ and not ourselves, we have to recognize that in this life we're in a battle, but it's not a physical battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And when we recognize what kind of forces we're against, it helps us a whole lot to know what kind of person we're going to be and so forth. And there's things that we do in this life. We buy life insurance. We buy car insurance. We buy locks to put on our doors. We do a lot of things to try to protect ourselves physically and so forth. But, you know, we need to think about the same type of things spiritually. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So if we are to please Christ and not ourselves, we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared spiritually and recognize that we're not in a physical battle, that we're in a a spiritual battle. And we have to be prepared. As these passages that Paul wrote to the Ephesians here so adequately describe of having those things, of having the Word of God with us. And those are the things that are going to be pleasing to Christ and allow us to overcome sin in our lives and to live the Christian life that we should and that we could please Christ and not ourselves. This is our lesson for this evening. If you've been here tonight and never rendered obedience to the gospel, those that have, and straight away, if we can be of assistance to you in any way, we'd ask you to come. Now we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Oh, do not let the world be lost.